The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Hello and welcome to the Promised Land, a show about Manchester United and part of the 90 Min Podcast Network. I'm Scott Saunders, joined by Rob Blanchett, as ever. A few days away, because we recorded in the immediate aftermath of the Manchester Derby defeat to Manchester City for Man United. We are just over, as we record, 24 hours-ish, maybe 27 hours away as we record this from Man United taking on Everton in the next Premier League game at Old Trafford. But obviously, there's a lot that's happened in between the two podcasts that we've done, Rob. Maybe not a lot. A lot's been discussed, let's say. A lot of noise. Maybe
a lot of noise
happened, but a lot of noise. From Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, who's done an interview with Gary Neville, Roy Keane, Jamie Carragher, Jill Scott on the overlap. We'll talk about some of the things that he said later in today's show. But I think the main leading topic has been all the 50 million managers who've been linked with this job.
Everyone Ineos is looking at, all 50 million of them.
Ineos, you know, those guys who know exactly what they're doing and are like coming in with exact plans, and you know, they can't decide who this guy is, you know, apparently. So yeah, I just think there's a whole lot of noise, whole lot of bluster, and a whole lot of let's write some stories to get our clicks on our newspaper websites and sell some papers. And Gareth Southgate, we'll talk about him as well. He's one of them, maybe to talk about at the beginning of the show, because he's the big name that has emerged this week that has kind of sent everybody into meltdown.
Yeah, I'm quite interested. It's only just come up now, to tell you the truth, the Southgate thing, because obviously, again, Southgate, a manager, an individual that has incredibly strong links to our new sporting director, who will, you know, be doing the job in the imminent future, obviously Dan Ashworth. So, obviously, a name that's not going to get anybody excited. I'm not excited. I know you're not excited, Scott. I know basically all our whole audience are not particularly excited by the likes of Gareth Southgate. I do think that we are going to see some decisions in year one that we just don't like and don't advocate. And unfortunately, because we've been so used to the Glazer way of doing things for 10 years, which is just kind of like, you know, rinse and repeat version of football, doing it the wrong way, so we will have to give Ineos the space to do what they want to do, whatever that is. And if that is Southgate, or we go down that route, or is it Graham Potter or someone else, then we're going to have to give it to them and let them get on with it and see how it works. Because I think the thing is, Scott, football fans and ourselves as journalists, we've all got best ideas about what we would like, yeah? And I've always said this about the managers we've hired in the last 10 years, is that by and large, before they arrived, I wanted them, every one of them, like maybe since Moyes, like I wasn't hot on Moyes, but every one of them, I did loads of content, loads of shows, wrote loads of articles about how this was the right manager to take you where you wanted to go. I was wrong. I can hold my hands up. You know, didn't work. But it didn't work because of the Glazers and how the Glazers do it. So now it's up to Ineos to make these things work, whoever they put in charge. And yes, Gareth Southgate is a very interesting name to discuss.
Talk about him on the show. We'll talk a bit about Doogie Friedman as well. Julian Ward's name linked again with United. Yeah. Jason Wilcox on the agenda. You know, there's a lot of structural change above the manager that is potentially going to happen. Obviously, you mentioned Dan Ashworth there, and there's some other roles to be filled in the sporting department, the technical director position needs to be filled as well. Even though, is that Darren Fletcher at the moment? You know, maybe a few different...
He's football director at the moment. That's his role, though no one knows what he does.
Although he spends a lot of his time on the training pitch.
Yeah.
Anyway, right. Okay, cool. Yeah, well, we're talking about managers, Doogie Friedman, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. I look a bit ahead to Everton as well, even though this, you know, what can we say other than play well and win or just win? I think that's the most important thing at the moment. It's Everton at the end of the day. At Old Trafford, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and watch us on YouTube, The Promise and a Man United podcast. Like the video, subscribe, leave a comment. Notification bell, please hit that so you never miss a show. 5-star reviews on the audio platforms, Spotify and Apple Podcasts as well. And follow us on social at @_ScottSaunders on X, Instagram and TikTok, @_Rob_B on X and YouTube, and @TPLMUFC on X or Twitter, as it's formerly known as well. Okay. Managers, let's just run through some names that have been linked. And this isn't even all of them linked with the job over the past couple of weeks. Julian Nagelsmann. I think we discussed him already, didn't we?
Did we? Yeah.
And we said, kind of I would find that unlikely given he's managing Germany at a home Euros. And I don't think that they would, you know, maybe he gets a job, but, you know, straight away.
I like
United are a month. I like him as well, but a month into preseason, if he's going to join late, really? You tell me that. Thomas Tuchel leaving Bayern Munich. Some people want Thomas Tuchel. I know he's won a Champions League and he's won some Bundesligas in the past, but the football he's playing at Bayern Munich is the reason he's leaving, and because they're 10 points off Bayer Leverkusen. And yet, you know, come on, guys, really. Right, who else we got? Erik ten Hag, obviously, still in the frame, still in with a chance. Thomas Frank? Let's have a second on Thomas Frank, Rob.
I'll tell you the Thomas Frank angle. And that is, one thing we've heard not so long ago, is that Ineos are very, very impressed with how Brentford have run their operation. And they look at Brentford.
All down to Thomas Frank.
And the whole thing is, of course, that it isn't all down to Thomas Frank. What you want your coach to be, especially in these kind of media savvy times, Scott, is to play some of the populism game. And Thomas Frank is really good at it. Like, Thomas Frank is Brentford to a lot of people, but he isn't really. Like, let's be honest, if Brentford sacked him tomorrow and brought in another coach, Brentford might even be better. Like, you know, look at, say, Potter and De Zerbi. You know, it can happen. But Thomas Frank is very much, I think, the physical manifestation of Brentford. Do you know what I mean? Of here we go. And I think United would like that with a coach somewhere there, or someone that can talk the talk while walking the walk with results. Now, I don't think Brentford, the expectations are anything like Man United, but this is what we've heard, is that Ineos like the way that they've structured their business since they came up. And also before, when they were in the Championship, to kind of build their levels of success to get to where they are today. So I think that's why Thomas Frank's being mentioned. Like, do I think Thomas Frank's a great manager? No, I don't.
Quite a jump from Brentford, eh?
It's not even a jump, is it? It's like a different planet. It's like I'm going from the Earth and I'm going to jump onto the moon and live there and do everything on the moon. It would be such a huge jump for Thomas Frank to do that, to manage a club like that. But, of course, Thomas Frank's also been linked with Liverpool. So, you know, there are these things.
And I don't think he'll be going to Liverpool.
I don't think he'll be going to Liverpool. But, again, the Xabi Alonso angle for Liverpool means that other people are at play. Do you get what I mean? So you always have your first choice and your second choice, but you've also got your third, fourth and fifth. And you kind of, I think that's where Thomas Frank fits in a lot of these pictures.
Speaking of some people in the frame for the Liverpool job that aren't Xabi Alonso, Roberto De Zerbi.
Your favourite.
I think he's a good coach, right?
You always have your caveat. You always go, I think he's a good coach, but he got hammered yesterday.
I'll tell you what, right? If he goes in to Man United and plays the same way and defends like Brighton defend at times when they lose 6-1 at Villa and 4-0 to Roma, if they keep doing the same things like that and like being so solid to their philosophy at United and that happens, he's getting killed. I'm sorry. Totally. You're going to be praying for him to shut up shop and stop the bleeding.
And that
I'm
worries
sorry,
me.
You're going to.
Worries me. It definitely worries me. And like, I know we'll talk a little bit about Ole afterwards as well, but Ole's interview. One of the things Ole said, which I think marries to what you've just said there about De Zerbi, is that he got to a point where he was like, we had to play the Man United way to see if we could. And guess what? We got hammered. And Roy Keane sat next to him. Roy Keane's like, what is all this? What? There's no shame in shutting the shop. What are you talking about? It's football. You know, you have to. Even at Old Trafford, shut the shop if you have to. I think the thing with De Zerbi is that he's not going to do any of that. De Zerbi will be De Zerbi till he gets sacked, in the same way Bielsa was Bielsa until he got sacked at Leeds. And there are some coaches that are great who do all that and get very, very popular, Scott. I don't really know that's what we need today, like at Man United. I don't think that is what we need. We need some coach that can do multi different levels of things tactically and put on a football pitch. De Zerbi is your very extreme version, I think, in the Premier League, of someone that won't change his systems. And again, I don't think Ineos... Does that what Ineos want? Like, I don't know. I don't think Ineos want that, do they?
It's just funny, though, isn't it? Because...
It is funny.
I called him a shiny new toy yesterday, and then on Twitter, and a lot of United fans responded. It was kind of a mixed bag in terms of the responses I got, but they were like... Some people were like, oh, no, he's not... He's my fifth choice. 3 months ago, everybody loved him. 3 months ago. It's just how times can change, you know?
Football's like that, isn't it? Football's like this.
And literally less than a year ago, everybody was convinced that Erik ten Hag was the right guy to lead us for 4, 5, 6 years plus.
Yeah.
It's just funny how times can change. And well, funny how... Really, isn't it? It is, of course. And that's a lot of this for me. Hmm. I feel like if you're going to give somebody a new chance in a new structure, there's not a person on this list currently that I'm absolutely blindly convinced can do a better job than Ten Hag can under the same circumstances. That's all I'm saying. And I feel like it's a waste of money to change a manager. And obviously, like, they might change their mind. They might want to make a change. And I completely get that if you've got a new ownership structure coming in and they want to do things their own way, they're going to want their own guy. Like, fair enough. I think that's an easy way to, you know, just wipe a clean slate and progress forward. But then what? Let's say 6 months into that reign, because you can't shift the players that everybody knows needs to go, you got the same problems because they can't actually play Roberto De Zerbi, like Lewis Dunk. you know, right? He's still in the Brighton team. Maybe a comparison with Harry Maguire there. Harry Maguire's a better player, I think. But
oh, he is.
You know, it's the same argument, right? And obviously he was being dug out yesterday for being exposed at the level of the Europa League against like one of Italy's maybe fifth, sixth best team.
Yeah.
You know, like Roma don't... Like Roma aren't
Roma
better.
Roma are not that good, are they?
Like Roma are better than like half the teams in the Premier League. I know that like obviously European competition, it plays with your mind a little bit. But you know, come on, man. Like, I just think... Like you say, Rob, what aboutery? And how people's minds can change so quickly, knowing all of the circumstances that are around the football club, knowing all the problems that Ten Hag has had to inherit and deal with this season. Yeah, there's obviously a completely fair argument to say they're not doing as everybody was hoping and that everybody was expecting. But, you know, you look at these names. I haven't even got to the end of the list yet. You look at these names and you think, right, okay, so is that manager going to come in and immediately fix everything? Because that's what everybody wants, you know? The expectation is that, oh, look, Daniel De Rossi just came in and replaced Jose Mourinho at Roma, and look how well he's got him playing. Like, that's not a comparison to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and what happened after Jose Mourinho. And now everybody came to the conclusion at the end that, oh, maybe Ollie's a little bit out of his depth. Yet he goes on a podcast this week and goes, oh, I love Ollie. And you go, I love Ollie. Let's bring him back.
It's funny, isn't it, that Ollie's done this podcast, and we're obviously doing our podcast today. And those things we talk about in terms of new managers, absolutely all completely relevant in terms of what he said in his podcast. And of course, he talked about taking over from Jose Mourinho and the uplift. He talked about making players happy. And the difference between, like, say, like, do you remember what it was like, Scott? First 19 games with Ole, there was this massive trajectory. And then he got the job and then it literally fell off immediately. Like, almost the next game, I remember being at Old Trafford and going, a bit worried about this now. Like, he shouldn't have got the contract anyway. Like, we all felt that. But he got the contract. Ole's at the wheel and all of that stuff.
What game was that? Do you remember?
What, when he got the contract?
Well, I know that obviously after PSG, everything changed.
The vibe was...
They went on a bad run, though, as soon as he signed the contract, right?
Yeah. I've told the Pochettino story several times about where Ed Woodward had said to someone that I knew that that he didn't want to give the job to Ole, but because of that run, that he felt the pressure of the United fans. That United fans wanted Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. So he kind of was told by Tottenham that Pochettino was going to cost X amount of millions of pounds, and United went, we're not going to do that. So Ole's there in the building. Ole even says it in the podcast. He was like, I thought it was just going to be there 4 months. He's like, that's honestly what I thought, like 4 months, and that was it. And then I got the job. And it's like, okay. But he got the job on kind of skewed terms. You get what I'm saying? So it's like, Ole talks about this, about squad development and about buying players and all this. And I'm kind of bleeding into our next segment a little bit here. But he talked about how it works and how you look at 100 million players and 50 million players and 20 million players and 10 million players. And I was listening to it and I'm just like, oh, this is why Man United are so bad. This is why it's bad for Ten Hag. This is why it's still currently bad, Scott. This is why it was bad for Mourinho and bad for Van Gaal, even bad to David Moyes. It's so badly run. And can you imagine, like you just said to Zerbi, stick to Zerbi into this badly run thing, like you're going to get something even worse, even worse than what we see.
Yeah, but the comparisons with De Zerbi, like you are literally taking... reason why Roberto De Zerbi came in and improved everything is because Brighton have a structure behind their football club which enabled Graham Potter to succeed, and they carefully picked out Graham Potter for that step up. And obviously he took them, you know, I think the criticism was at the end that they weren't scoring as many goals as they should have been. Their XG was, they were way below their XG.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah. And obviously Potter took that chance at Chelsea and failed. There's a structure there at Chelsea which everybody now, I was critical of this at the time as well. Everybody now is seeing is like, what is going on here? And now you've got, everything will be fixed when Mauricio Pochettino replaces Graham Potter. They're in the same position.
Yeah.
If not worse.
Totally.
I know they play
Which tells you they probably should start with Potter. But... You know, like the irony of it is, Scott, is that the Potter was handpicked by the owner, and the owner, like just said about Ed Woodward, the owner felt the pressure of the results and been the guy that he really had faith well on and has gone with Pochettino, and it's probably worse. Like, let's be honest. Probably worse. You spent $1 billion and you're worse than you were before you spent $1 billion. So none of it's a good look, is it? And I think the thing is that it's just, I think football is all about populism. It is all about whataboutery. Like now suddenly Pochettino is the worst coach in the world and hasn't achieved anything, hasn't won any trophies in England. I hear that all the time. Oh, he doesn't win any trophies in England. Well, we've watched him for 10 years. He's a pretty good coach. Like, he can build stuff if you give him time. So I don't know. I think it will apply for Man United as well, Scott. And unfortunately, we're not going to get out of that bubble because we're coming from a real place of hurt and pain. We are the last 10 years.
For what it's worth, Rob, I do other podcasts as well, right? And I know people think that me personally, I am I'm massively pro Ten Hag and I'm an advocate for Ten Hag. I think United and Chelsea are essentially ran like a circus or have been. And I went on video consistently around January last year and I said, give Graham Potter more time. Give him more time. Give him more time. They ended up sacking him. And now I'm in the same camp. I'm also saying, hey, give Erik ten Hag more time because I think he can turn it around if everything goes the way that it should go, right? I say that about Ten Hag. I'm saying it about Pochettino as well. I think he's a good coach. But how can you expect him to turn around that mess in 8 months? You know, yes, there's an argument there to say that they should be playing better than they are. Of course. And yes, if they don't make Europe, then Chelsea could end up getting a points deduction because they spent so much money. But how can you expect any manager to go into a club like that with all the change that has happened, with all the outlay of like money on players, all the experienced players that have left? How can you expect them to turn it around straight away and just fix it like that? You can't. Yeah. It's unrealistic.
And we talk a lot about culture at football clubs. I know we talked about Man United to death, and Chelsea are exactly the same. Like, this isn't the Chelsea podcast, but the similarities are stark because the way the clubs have been run in this kind of, like, let's go buy loads of players thing. This is how you solve everything. Like, just buy lots of players, spend lots of money. Oh, now we might be a point deduction. Oh, this coach now can't get this team winning. It's such a regressive cycle, and it happens in football a lot. It's not just the two clubs we're talking about here today, but I think the unique thing about Man United is that you expect the standards to be higher. Do you get what I'm saying? And it's that Fergie getting 4 years when Man United were terrible before he won his first trophy in 1990 isn't going to happen for Erik ten Hag. We understand that the game has changed. But if you think that a new coach can come in and just magic a lot of the stuff going on in the dressing room, and again, this goes back to what Ole Gunnar Solskjaer was talking about, the dressing room, and about leaders not wanting the captaincy and stuff like that, and some players not particularly wanting to play all the time. When you have all of that to sort out, Scott, this is why I've said it could take 5 years. And I've said it in a term of realism, that this stuff does not get fixed in a year sometimes, or 2 years. And sometimes 2 years down the line, you still feel like you're treading water on day one. Still feels like day one. And I think that's where we are with Ten Hag. So we don't feel we've advanced loads with Erik ten Hag, even though he won a trophy last year and came third. But you can see the depth of the issues at Man United. And this is why it's a big job for Ineos and why they have to change everything from the very, very top. And I'm glad, Scott, day one, of course, they got rid of Richard Arnold. I think that was the first thing you had to do. Mm-hmm. Richard Arnold gone. And the next person you need to do now is get rid of Mirto. Mirto sat at games with Ineos. It's useless. Don't keep him there. Don't keep him on a kind of reduced role. Just get rid. People and players and management that haven't helped you for a long period of time, move them on. And try and keep it as fresh as possible and give it a new angle. And that's like what you said at the start there. You know, if they go that Erik ten Hag's not their guy for whatever reason, then that will be part of their process. But we might not like, Scott, the person that comes in and takes his job.
Just one more thing before we move on to the England boss.
Hmm.
Think back 2 years ago when we were trying to pick who this next manager is, right? Who was top of the list? Ten Hag and Pochettino.
Conte was the first name.
Yeah, but he was not. He's not Man United material, no. Is he? Notably, not been linked with this job recently,
or any jobs at the moment.
Yeah, or any jobs. But the important thing to remember, and like, think of the comparisons to now, right?
Mm.
Like, I said this often about Xabi Alonso. Looks like the world's best coach at the moment because he's gone into Bayer Leverkusen. He's going to win the Bundesliga with him, having had about 18 months of top-level coaching experience, if that. And look, do you think he goes into Man United tomorrow and turns it around like everybody expects? Like, I'm not saying he will. Maybe he goes to Liverpool. But Liverpool are better set up and have been better set up over the past decade or so because they've put foundations in place to help their managers succeed. He's more likely to succeed there, potentially, than at United. The comparisons. Take your mind back to 2 years ago. When Erik ten Hag was playing the football he was playing with Ajax, right? And how everybody was like, oh, this guy plays amazing football. Like, oh, like, he's so incredible. Like, he's the guy. Look, he can discipline our players. Like, we need discipline. We really, really do. And yet, yeah, fair enough. You've got a sample size now of about 18 months, 2 years nearly. And it's not gone well. But the part that hasn't gone well, I know they won a trophy last season. After they won a trophy, they kind of tailed off. But we all know that moves need to happen, players need to leave. And now we're looking at the sample size of this 7-8 months of this season and are thinking, this guy hasn't got what it takes. You cast your mind, like, people are looking at other managers now, the way they were looking at Ten Hag 2 years ago. And a lot of the things that need to change haven't changed.
No.
So it's like you say, what about Tree? You know, it's that's what I can't get my head around. It's all of the thirst for a new face, something new and fresh. And you think, actually, we've kind of gone down like 18 months of this path of what this guy thinks needs to happen, which we all agree, really. The players that need to be sold, and he wants to sell, he's tried to sell, like McTominay and Maguire, which he couldn't sell because the club pay them too much money, or in Maguire's case, pay them too much money. Like, he can't do everything that he wants to do. And the next guy that comes in isn't going to magically turn Scott McTominay into a ball playing number eight. I'm sorry, he's not going to.
No.
So you still have the same problems with a new guy.
And I'd go as far as to say that Erik ten Hag probably hasn't been able to do 90% of the things that he really would have liked to have done. Like when he comes in with the dossier on day one and has looked at all the players and looked at their stats. We absolutely know that United have not cleared through the squad in the last 2 years in the way that I think most of us would have liked. Like I always said that you can't do these big splurges where you get rid of 10, 15 players in one go. But the truth is, Scott, over the period of 2 years, you could have got rid of 10 players like in 2 years. You absolutely could have got rid of 5 and 5. You could have done that, but you didn't do that. You didn't manage to do it. I think that was the story of the last main transfer windows going back into the summer, because you just couldn't move players on, and that really hamstrung you to go and get the players that you needed. So I think there's this kind of balance here, Scott. Again, this bleeds into the Ole content, in that Ole talked about the control he had and how upstairs, how the board had their kind of commercial aspirations. He did mention that. And he was like, how they tried not to interfere in those things. Well, do you know what you need now, Scott? You need a board that interferes. You need a board that actually goes, well, we've got a technical director here now. And we've also got a guy, head of recruitment. And we've also got a sporting director here. These guys are going to be the ones that have the responsibility to push this project forward, and the coaches. And I think the thing is with Erik ten Hag is that he might even look at this job now, Scott, differently. He might go, actually, I quite like these guys, like Ineos are talking sense, but I came here to run this football club, and now I've almost been like proxy.
Do you think
demoted.
He wants to do that?
I think the thing is, one of the things that attracted him to the job, and it does attract managers, is, again, Ole said this about the job and what he's waiting for his next job. So he's been offered coaching roles, but there are some people, some individuals that like being a manager, which means managing a broader spectrum. And there are some guys that like being coaches. And coaches mean I've got my tracksuit on, I sit on the side, I'm Bielsa, sat on my little box on the touchline, and I'm just interested in tactics. I don't really care about politics. So a lot of people like that. But I think with Erik ten Hag, the reason why United got him, Scott, was that he was a middle ground. He was up for the challenge of restructuring and then inventing a culture at Manchester United. And as he says, not so long ago, there was no culture before I arrived here. And that is damning in itself, isn't it? But the problem is that you're now at a crossroads. Sorry?
There still isn't.
And there still isn't, because Ineos have only just arrived, like literally here, like, you know, they've just literally came through the door. But I do think that Erik ten Hag, I would like him just to be a coach, because I think that's the way it should work. But there's still plenty of United fans. I've heard loads of people on their soapboxes going, no, 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 no. We can't be like that. We need a manager. Like, we need to have that structure. And managers are the ones who should pick players and sign players. And it's like, sorry, you all play Football Manager way too much. That is not how big institutions work anymore. It's not how City work. Guardiola does not pick the players. He does not have a veto on who is to sign. He doesn't. He's a coach. And that's his position. So I think the whole thing is that this is what Ineos need to work out. Does Erik ten Hag really want to do it? Does Erik ten Hag really want to be
Well,
a
he did it at Ajax, Rob.
He did it at Ajax in a system that's been embedded for 40 years at Ajax. So he was part of that, and he was given the opportunity at Ajax to be part of that. And of course, he did really, really well. But he came to Man United on different terms. So this is a different job to him in his head. Would he be happy just to coach? Yeah, I think if he got everything he wanted, like if he got every player, and, you know, and he could do all the systems that he wants to do. But I don't think he will. I don't think he'll get absolutely everything he wants, in the same way that Ineos might look at him and go, well, we like Erik, but he doesn't tick every box that we want as a coach, because we want someone sat in our boardroom that works with us in these board meetings as a coach, not someone who came to come and do one job and is now being asked to do another. Because that's really difficult, Scott, in football. It's like you get told one thing, and Ole said it himself. You get told the job's one thing, and then when you get to the end, it's kind of like, well, who was responsible for that? He was talking about all the layers of people he had to go through to get decisions made. He must have just been on his phone every day in his office, Scott, trying to just talk to the board. You know, how is he supposed to coach? So let's see. I think that's the thing with Erik. I still have faith in him as a coach. But I can tell why Ineos might be looking at it and going, well, we're not seeing any tactical outlay that we would want from our coach in years to come.
Just to cast your mind back, how many players that played in the City derby defeat the other day are Erik ten Hag's players?
Oh, I bet
six of them were from previous managers.
Mm.
Two of them are youth products. And then the others, one is a stopgap. One is Johnny Evans. And the other is a goalkeeper that he wanted. So when you think this guy's got to work miracles, just look at that. Yeah. Consider that. And yes, he played a different way, because a lot of those players are used to playing that way.
Well, let's again marry it up with the Ole stuff. right? Because I think this is why it's so interesting, the timing of these interviews and one thing or another. Ole spoke a lot about what he wanted to play, the kind of system he wanted to play. So I did masterclasses in years gone by about how Ole, and we'd heard this directly from really credible sources, wanted to play 4-3-3. Wanted to play 4-3-3, and that's how I wanted to play, and I want to do that, and that's how I want to build this squad going forward in the years ahead. And every time he played 4-3-3, we'd get hammered and he'd stop playing it, right? And he talked the other day about players and what their aptitudes were and how we could push them forward. And did you see the one player that he mentioned a fair bit? And you heard our esteemed ex-captain from midfield talk about Fred. And he was like, well, the reason why I play Fred is because I asked this lot to do it and they can't do it. So I'm asking them to do stuff. And I end up with Fred and McTominay. And I did masterclasses on the double pivot. And I'd be like, Ole plays that system because he feels he hasn't got any other choice, right? I kind of feel like that now about Eric. I feel like Eric is doing stuff that I don't really want to see and you don't want to see, Scott. But I think he's going into games going, I don't really know what choice I've got. If, like, you know, Marcus ain't going to push on the press, I can't play pressing football. That's why my defence and my attack are this far apart, a mile apart. And we're going, that's weird football. Well, players have got to do it as well, haven't they? So you've got to have the right players. Ole said, you know, I didn't have the players to do it over that time period. It's the same problem, isn't it? It's no different. It's the same club, same players, same problem. And yet you're asking them to be progressive. It's so difficult. It's so hard. What is Erik ten Hag supposed to do in these moments? This is why I said, Scott, I want him to shut the shop sometimes. Just do it. Just go play double with it. Calm it down. Do what these players can do, not what you want these players to do. Because unfortunately, if you push them to go that way and they don't do it, you get sacked. You lose your job.
And I'll ask this again to anyone listening. Do you really want a coach to come in and be so absolutely married to their principles that it means you start taking heavy defeats? I know we've seen some heavy defeats under Ten Hag, obviously. But he has shown that at times, and throughout last season as well, he knew, I have to play a little bit of a different way here because we're not ready to play my way properly. I think he started to play or try and play the way that he wants to play a little bit more this season, but we can see the holes in it. We can see the gaps in it. There's a chasm between the midfield and the defense in most cases. But I think that's a step-by-step process. And I think if you continue to build in the direction that he wants to go, and to be honest, I feel like the way that Ten Hag wants to play football is going to be the same as a lot of the managers that you're looking at, like this shiny new toy. But let's say Roberto De Zerbi comes in and tries to play the same way he wants to play at Brighton all the time with these players and not change his system. How much patience are you going to have for him then? Like, really, honestly.
And I think the truth is that I think Erik Ten Hag would rather play football like Pep Guardiola than not. That's what if he could just do it himself and play Football Manager on a computer and he was setting it up and just taking plays to be able to do it. He wants to play possession-based football in the first third and then be able to go quick into the final third. And he's playing counter-press, Scott, and this wild, wild version of counter-pressing is because it's exactly what Ole thought with 4-2-3-1. Ole was like, this lot can't defend, this lot can't keep a football, so my best chance is to go longer and quicker and faster. And that's not a great tactic to go and win trophies. Not really, not in the modern day. I think Erik ten Hag wants his team to be able to pass a football, but the truth is this lot can't. And what is he coaching then? Like, this is the thing, is that he can't coach his players to just suddenly become better at it when we've been talking about the same set of players not being able to do it for 5, 6, 7 years. You just meant them a mishmash of players from different managers. So
do you remember Ralph Rangnick, one of the greatest tactical minds of this generation, came in and they looked like,
yeah.
What the hell am I watching?
20 minutes, you know? Against Crystal Palace, brilliant. Yeah, honestly, it was the worst, best 20 minutes of my Man United life for so many years. They were so good for 20 minutes. And then after that 20 minutes, they were terrible for months. And it was because they went,
the rest of the season, they were terrible.
We can't do this. Yeah, they were like, oh my God, we literally cannot play this style of football. We just haven't got it. And this is why I have some sympathy for footballers, but I also, a lot of that sympathy comes away because I talk a lot, Scott, in my role, my job, about professionalism all the time. Yeah, go and do what you're good at, but do it all the time. Be professional. And Ole spoke about this in his thing, saying, oh, you know, making the players happier. Absolutely. A coach's job is to manage the vibe and the mood in the dressing room. But I'm sorry, right? Your job is to go out there and perform to a certain standard every week. And if you drop, then that's on you. It's totally on you. And that's where managers are left on islands, because every manager gets sacked eventually, Scott. That's the truth in football. And the reason it is because players, it's not player power. is I think the mentality of the footballer has changed dramatically as to what I can and can't do. Once upon a time, it was just like, get out and do the job. Like, if you don't do the job, you don't play. Sorry. And that's it. You know, and there's no other, you know, I will pick that kid. And that's what I said about Garnacho early in the season. I was like, you know, pick the kids, pick Manu, because they're not affected by those things. They're kids. But you say, go do that job, and they'll try and do it the best they can. And that means more to me than a senior pro who just thinks they can do certain things and then kind of switches on and off when they don't want to. One of the things Ollie again spoke about was Bruno, and talk about his leadership. And he was like, Bruno's great leader, but indisciplined, just kind of does Bruno sometimes. And, you know, did brilliantly for me the first 2 years. And then we talk about the captaincy, and he moved it from Bruno straight to Harry Maguire. And he was like, Harry Maguire is for me the captain, because Harry Maguire is the one in the dressing room telling lads, this is what we should be doing, lads. This is what I want on a training pitch, almost like a manager. Do you know what I mean? As a captain. So there's all of that, Scott, in a melting pot at Man United with the players and the management, that goes all the way up to the top and comes all the way back down to the bottom. And I think Erik ten Hag is caught between a rock and a hard place. It's difficult. It's really difficult for any coach to sort all of that out in a year or two. This is why I keep saying the words 5 years, because I really do think it's a long, 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 long period.
Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. On Watch Us on YouTube, the Promised Land of Man United podcast. Like, subscribe, leave a comment for us, and hit the notification bell as well so you never miss the show. Also, on Apple and Spotify, please give us a 5-star review. You know where you can find us on the socials. Links or the apps should be in the description of this episode if you're listening on audio or YouTube.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Rob, one more manager we just needed to talk about that we haven't talked about yet before we talk about Ollie and his interview. Gareth Southgate, is he going to fix everything? Is he going to join Man United? What a prospect.
My problem with Gareth Southgate, so let's start with that. My problem is that all the coaches that we've talked about and all the things that we've talked about that's wrong with maybe the coaching at Man United is, how do you become tactically better? You know, what do you do that makes you a better tactical entity? When Man City wanted to go from the Mancini era, Pellegrini era, they went to Guardiola because they wanted to go to a kind of different angle with the coaching to take the club to the next level. I think when you look at Man United, it's that we've had all these managers 10 years, Scott. If you end up with Gareth Southgate, I think Southgate actually fits more into the Ole mold, is that he will communicate really well with the players. He will become not their best friend, but he'll become like their dad. And I don't actually think the players need a dad. I think they need just core leadership there. They don't need cuddles, because I think that was Ole's tactic. Ole was like, you know, get these guys doing what I want for me and then we'll find a way. I don't think that works in the modern game. You need a balance. You need to be the coach. I think with Gareth Southgate, I've not seen enough outside of England. And even during his England spell, like, is he a Premier League standard coach? That's the question. I'm not sure. I don't know. I think coaching internationally is like a different planet again to coaching Man United. I want a tactician, you know, and there's a lot of guys you've mentioned there, Scott, rolling off the tongue. There's a lot better tactical managers, and Graham Potter is certainly one of them. in terms of building a project. And that's what I'm looking at. And I think Gareth Southgate, it's a little bit of a worry, but I would not be surprised if that Ineos get this first managerial hire wrong. I really wouldn't, because there's a lot at stake and they're going to be playing the field a little bit and going, well, how do we do this? Like, this is a brand new thing. Do we go with someone like Southgate? And we do know that Gareth Southgate's time with England is coming to an end. So there is that. And I think that's also why his name is now being bandied around. And of course, his close relationship with Dan Ashworth.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just trying to look at how long he's got left on his contract. I think the...
I think he's done at this tournament, whatever way. Like, even if he wins it, I think...
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Because the relationship with him in the FA, and just giving some background to that, is that with the last contract that he signed, again, he was kind of... he was looking at his options and, again, looking to come back into club football. And we all know he's not really had any kind of stellar club football career, has he? He's not had that experience. There's also a lot of interest in him, Scott, from the continent. So, you know, his stock is actually higher abroad than it is back here at home. But I think you get offered Man United, Scott, you go do it. Like, he's not going to say no to us. Like I've said this, any coach that gets offered this job is almost definitely going to take it, especially with the changes upstairs. You mentioned Xabi Alonso, Scott. I think Liverpool
Rob,
is the biggest...
Rob, he is not joining United.
No, not Xabi Alonso. No, I'm not saying that. Listen to me. I'm saying Xabi Alonso in Liverpool, I don't think will happen, because I think that people look at Liverpool and it's a poison chalice. Anyone following Klopp?
Oh, yeah, it's difficult.
Anyone following Klopp is failing, yeah? I'm telling you that now. In the same way that anyone who follows Guardiola eventually will fail in those first times, they will be the next David Moyes. I think Xabi Alonso looks at this. One of his mates has now gone to Bayern Munich in the board, and it's so easy to go back to that club and win stuff at Bayern Munich because they do already have the existing structures, and you go to there, and that can be a nice next step. And you go to Bayern Munich for 2, 3, 4, 5 years and win everything there domestically. Going to Liverpool, you're not guaranteed second, third, or fourth. You really are not. If you go there, you could come seventh very easily and lose your job very quickly. So I don't think Alonso to Liverpool will happen. I really don't, because I think it's a poison chalice. I think with United, with Ten Hag, this is, I think, what gives Ten Hag the best chance, Scott, is that all of the competition for Ten Hag, big doubts, big holes. And I think if you're, this is why Ineos are putting out there, we've made no decision on a manager. They keep, that's the vibe and the line coming back. Because I think they would like Eric Ten Hag just to get on and do the job and do well in the next few weeks and months. Because they're sorting out all this other stuff. And they know they're going to have to sort a playing squad out in the summer as well. Getting rid of a manager, I don't think they want to make a big statement like that, but they'll make it if they feel they have to. That's probably the best reason to do it. So, yeah, Southgate to Man United wouldn't get my approval, not at all. Would it surprise me? No, it wouldn't surprise me again, because I think this is the Dan Ashworth project. He's going to choose a lot of this sporting direction. And I think Ineos will back him. I think Ineos will back their sporting director because they want Dan Ashworth to lead this project.
Southgate's contract is up in December, which is a little bit weird, but I knew it was around-ish the end of Euro 2024. So there's potential for him to there's potential for him to leave. I think most people agree that he's taken England as far as they can. Obviously, you would. I'm not English, so I'm not going to say that I would like to see this, but you know, that squad is good enough to compete in semi-finals and finals and potentially win a tournament. It's as good as most squads out there. So that is the thing for me, which I think makes this unlikely to happen now. I don't disagree with you in the terms of the Ashworth Southgate relationship. I think that's a very valid point to make. But like the conversation we had about Nagelsmann recently, he's in a national team job. You'd expect England to go deep into Euro 2024. You're talking quarterfinals, semi-finals. That's mid-July. And then you telling me he's going to want to get up and leave and go into another high-pressure job straight away? And are you telling me also that United, having started pre-season at the start of July with the players who are on international duty, are going to want to wait for their manager probably till August, and then the season starts 2 weeks later? Is that realistic? I'm not sure.
It's not. It doesn't actually go within the bounds of realism. But I think, again, with football, so many decisions get made that don't seem realistic at all. Like, I still think that when we talked about Dan Ashworth originally, and you were like, oh, United could get Dan Ashworth. And I was like, no. And the reason was exactly what you've just said there about Southgate, is that under contract, big projects, things to come, lots of work to do, et cetera, et cetera. I think the things with Gareth Southgate and the unique situation here is that I don't think the contract's important. Like, he signed that contract as a placeholder, really. And we do know that the FA are looking forward and looking to their next manager. So that would just, I think, just be a speeded up process, is that England know that Southgate probably isn't going to stay on beyond his contract where he is now. Even if he won the Euros, Scott, and was there at the Euros, I still think he's gone. Whether he would want to
great
go
time to leave if he does. Fantastic.
Yeah, and you know what? What you know, we talk about the glamour of the game. You know, what could you do more than go from England with this talented team to then be headhunted by Man United? It's no bigger job in the world. You don't say no to it. You really don't, unless you look at it in with different eyes and kind of go, whoa, actually, this is a 3 or 4 year project and I don't want that. And I think Southgate will be a much in demand coach when he is no longer the England manager. But his chance to manage a club like Man United might only come once in his life. Like, he ain't getting the Liverpool job, and he ain't getting the City job, and he ain't getting the Arsenal job, is he? Man United comes around once in a generation for lots of coaches. So Southgate offered that. I think he would say yes. And I actually think the FA would go, all right, we'll rip your contract up because we've got someone ready anyway. We're going to do this. This is what we were going to do anyway. And we're all friends. You know, Dan Ashworth's our mate. You know, we're all friends. Let's just get on with it and get on with the job and not worry about it too much. Saying that, Graham Potter's the one who's available. Graham Potter has also had that relationship with the sporting director. Graham Potter's the one who costs you nothing, Scott. Costs you no pennies. And I do think that that is important now next summer with Erik ten Hag, is that paying off a manager is another chunk out of your FFP, out of your profit. And I don't think Ineos will want to do that. I don't think Ineos will want to just give pennies away because they're looking at the pounds and they're being shrewd about it. That's how they want to run their business.
Let us know in the comments what you think. We've done some extensive manager chat, 44 minutes, essentially.
Lots of managers.
But there's lots of managers in the frame. I would also say this, right? Just keep in mind that there's a lot of publishers out there that are just going to throw names in there because you realise there's a feeding frenzy around Man United and the manager's position at the moment.
We should talk about Arteta going to United.
That's not.
No, that's not.
Good enough for Rio Ferdinand to talk about, but, you know, good enough for Rio Ferdinand to talk about. Let's talk about other managers. I'm not sure how much time we'll have to talk about Everton, really, but obviously, like, let's do Everton now. Ten Hag needs an improvement. He needs to win.
It's a worrisome game in the same way that I said I was worried about Fulham. Like, Everton are not great, are they? Let's be honest. Like, they're okay. They're a mid-table team, Everton. And all the metrics point towards Everton being like the 12th best team in the league. There's not that far really behind Fulham, is it? And I do think Scott worries me. Is what? Set pieces. Yeah, Sean Dyche will look at it and go, those lot are soft. Let's target their soft core, yeah? And because of that, you might lose. I think the issue here is that, do these United players, Scott, now in this part of the season, truly believe that they can push on? Can we sort it all out, get back to what we want to be and push on? And is Everton a good opponent for us at Old Trafford? Again, Ole content bleeding in. Ole talked about Old Trafford being a problem psychologically for a lot of the United players, that they can't produce their best at home for whatever reason. So why Ole had the best away record, didn't he? A year undefeated away. But Old Trafford.
A lot of that was in empty stadiums, though. Like
empty stadiums, yeah. Indeed.
It's different. I'm sorry, it's different.
It is different. But I always think that, like, football, fundamentals are the fundamentals. Like, you know, like you set yourself up, you go out there. If a player in the very top of the game, Scott, is worried about a crowd, like, again, Roy Keane talked about this in the same podcast. He went, there's 80,000 there. That's what you want. That's what footballers are born to do. It's like, you know, you want the ball at your feet. When you've got all this crowd around you, it's the dream, isn't it? But I think we find Man United play, Scott. It's not the dream, is it? That they're worried. And I actually think that will be the case against Everton at home, is that there is always going to be this vibe of, if we fail, what happens? You know, because we're dead. And I do think, again, while they said this about a lot of the players are too involved with social media, and they actually see what we all say way too much, because they read it on their phones and that affects their psychology. So I think Everton is a bad look, because Everton will go a bit longer, Scott. Everton will get corners and free kicks, and Everton will put it under Andre Onana. That's what they'll do, and they'll try and attack the ball that way. And then Fulham might happen again. You might lose that game. And if he loses that game, Scott, we're doing exactly the same content, aren't we? About Erik ten Hag and what can he change? I'm not quite sure there's a lot you can really change in real time at the moment.
He's got to win. I mean, there's no two ways about it. Like, he's got to win. I'm sure everybody would like to see a style of play, but you're trying to play it and it's not working with these guys. He's just got to win for me. And that's the way to... The way to shut people up is by winning. And obviously, United are a long way off top four. But Villa are playing Tottenham this weekend. You never know how results can go. Top five is still a possibility. I think if he gets top five and he has a strong end to the season, he might be safe. He might be, but we'll see. Obviously, Everton is a game that you have to win. You got Liverpool in the FA. What's that?
I'm not sure.
Not sure.
I think, like, at the moment with the coefficiency, like, I know fifth potentially gets you Champions League, and that is that's a big tick box exercise for Ineos. Obviously, they want that, but I also think they will be looking at the fundamental style of play with how you're getting your results. And I'm with you. I think results is all that matters. Really, like, get a result, win the game 1-0. Off someone's backside, it's cool. That's all really we want. But I also think that Ineos will be tasking the manager and saying, we want to see better football. Like, we want to see this team look like a proper football team. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer again said it about how at home there's this pressure to go and be Man United. And he said it loads, actually. I didn't like it. It's like, we have to be Man United. Well, what does that mean? Well, being Man United is not losing, I think. Don't lose. I mean, that's being Man United. Forget the style of play for 2 minutes. So I think with Eric is that he's trying to get United to be Man United. But the truth is, you should just stop the bleeding, like we said at the top of the show and said many times. Just stop the bleeding and beat Everton. Be boring. Beat Everton. That's it. It's no good being good, Scott, and losing to Everton, is it? Like, that's the whole point. But I do think Ineos will be tasking him on that and saying, look, we need to see something better than what we've seen in 6 months, because what we've seen in 6 months, even with all the injuries, is definitely not the standard.
Yep, like any manager can come in and fix it, like we said, for 40 odd minutes. Anyway, let's talk about, we mentioned Ollie's interview enough times already. What did you want to pick out from it, Rob?
I think it was very interesting, obviously, the bits he said about Bellingham and Haaland, and I've certainly covered those in my shows going back over many, many years, exactly what was said, that Bellingham was in the building, that they kind of had Bellingham, but the whole crux was that he wanted X amount of playing time and United wouldn't give him that guarantee. Very rare for any football club to give any player playing guarantees. Like, you can't literally do it, but what you can do, Scott, is you can grease their palm and tell them, yeah, of course, you're going to play loads. And obviously, I don't think United said that to Bellingham. So that was him gone. But then there was the other side of it, obviously, with Haaland. We also knew that it was that £20 million activation that he could have got from Mulder at that time. And United said, no, it doesn't fit the profile of the player we want, because it's the scouts that decide all of that stuff. And it shows that Man United scouts have really hurt the football club's got in 10 years, because they've just chosen a lot of bad footballers. So that was the kind of, I think, the main takeaway. But just the last bit there is, again, we've talked a little bit about it, about psychology and mental health, is that, you know, he talked about the captaincy and said, you know, there were games where certain players, and I'm sure he's talking about senior players, didn't want the captaincy. And this is why I think he made the distinction between Harry Maguire, who he sung the praises of, and everyone else. So I think that's Marcus, Bruno, any of the senior players, you know, in that category. That's not great for Erik ten Hag, is it? It's like, you look at that. If that's the same mentality of these players, you can totally see why these players have this weird kind of flux between success and failure. Is that one week they can look great and the next week they can look terrible, because the psychology isn't there. And this is now what Ineos need to build on with whoever their coach is that they need players, Scott, with a stronger psychology and actually want to come to Man United and play in front of 80,000. You just talked there about closed stadiums. It shouldn't be like that. If you're at Man United, you want to love it and enjoy it. You want to do what Patrice Evra used to talk about all the time. It's like, this is a stage. It's where I wanted to be. I felt like at home. Finally, you know, it took me time to settle, but I was where I wanted to be. I'm not quite sure, Scott, some of these players at United really want to be with us. I think the pressure's too much, and they should all get off social media, because Ole talked about that and they're influenced by it, and they shouldn't be. Don't read what's being said about you. Just listen to your manager and go train and then go play and keep it simple. And I think that's a big generational thing, Scott. Ole talked about Gen Z a lot, said, you know, it's a Gen Z problem. And I kind of do.
For it.
Sorry?
He got some stick for it.
I think the problem is that the only reason why I think you make that comparison, because I'm always in favour of young people when it comes to football. I always believe in youth in that way. I'm always like, it's the youth that take you to the next step, the next step, the next step. And the older players are the older players, and they do what they do, and you hope they're professionals. And at Man United, that's not necessarily the case. But I do think that generationally, that this set of players are so massively affected by public opinion, because it's just literally, look, this thing in my hand here is in their faces constantly. Like, they're literally sat, Scott, in the dressing room reading Twitter. That cannot be a good look. So that's a generational problem. I'd ban phones at United. I would. I'd ban it all. I'd be like, no, you can't work like that. You're gonna wreck your own mental health. And I don't think we see that on the football pitch. Why are they so dysfunctional? I think it's because they know that as soon as they make a bad pass, that there's a billion tweets going on. Literally, they know it already. And I think that affects people. And I don't think it works at Man United. I think you've got to change that culture. You've got to have players that maybe don't invest in that too much. But I think we've got half our squad probably do. You know, we see it, don't we? You know, United play badly. And then what's the first thing you get, Scott? A tweet apologising about how bad Man United were from the players. I'm not interested in that. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see players, oh, sorry, we didn't play well today. Diogo Dalo had a bad game today. Hope next week we play better. I don't want to see it. Go away, do your job. Sorry to highlight Dalo there, but that's because it's the tweet I remember him making. I don't want to see any of that. Go and do the work and then get better the following week. And I think that is a big problem at Man United. And Ole highlighted it perfectly. I thought, why his project collapsed. And it's why Eric Ten Hag's project at the moment is collapsing. It's exactly the same reason.
Is it the manager's fault?
No. No, it's the culture of the football club. And this is what I'm saying. If you are the coach, and the first thing, if I'm the coach saying this and I know it's a problem, I'm going to the new owners and I'm saying to Ineos, right, this isn't working. I'm trying to do X, Y, and Z, but this has not worked for 10 years. And these players are on their phones in the dressing room, or they're connected to too many people that are telling them stuff that's getting in their head. Look at the story of Jadon Sancho, Scott. Do you know what I mean? Like, Jadon Sancho became a bad footballer overnight. Is that the truth? No, it's a more progress of that from the time to Dortmund to coming to Man United. At Dortmund, Scott, he was going to be the next hero of England. You know, best player, you know, he was protected at Dortmund, looked after. And yet it wasn't perfect at Dortmund, but he put the stats up. Come to Man United, it's a dysfunctional Ronaldo mess. So, like, I think this is the whole thing about the football club, is that the football club itself needs to fundamentally change. And it starts at the very, very top. But yeah, that's not Eric Ten Hag's fault. I agree with you. I would give Eric more time. It would be the same for any coach coming in. But you can't play personality politics in football, Scott. It can't just be about Graham Potter comes in, or we don't want Potter because he hasn't got the personality, or we don't want Southgate because of the personality. It's got to be about technique and about building and about tactics and making players better and getting rid of the players that maybe have held you back for many, many seasons.
Yeah. I think, yeah, it's the thing everybody... Oh, no.
Well,
I have frozen. Anyway,
no, you're not.
Oh, we're back.
You're not
back.
Frozen. I could see you. You hadn't frozen.
I froze for a second. We'll leave that one in there, shall we?
Yeah, why not?
My screen frozen. Sorry, everyone. Anyway, final topic. Anything else you wanted to touch on with the Solskjaer interview?
No, not really. I think that's kind of the highlights. But it was a really good interview. And I think, you know, I'd like to see more of these because, you know, we believe that kind of Ole's NDA had run out and signed with the football club over 2 years, so he could kind of talk a little bit more freely about it. He didn't kind of throw anyone under the bus, I didn't think, but I think he was honest with the bits that we already kind of knew. And it's nice just to hear him confirm a lot of that, because I think, you know, he didn't want to kind of savage the boys, but he was quite clear in about why it failed and why it didn't work. And it kind of comes down to player psychology and about what you're asking a player to do and what you're tactically trying to put out there. Can you actually repeat it week after week? And the answer to that, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, was no. And the answer to that is exactly the same for this manager. And is the answer is no, is what you see 1 week is not what you're going to get the following week.
Right, I'll ask you the question then. Ooh. Did that give you a bit of nostalgia? Do you want him back?
Who?
Bring back Ole as the next manager.
No. God, anyone saying that is, it's all these, again, social media stands, isn't it? It's like Ole accounts, Jose accounts, you know, Ronaldo accounts, all this. I don't know what A, these people get out of it, but B, how is it supposed to help us now? None of that really helps. I think with Ole, I think he's a hero of the football club. It was nice to hear him talk about his playing days at United. That was interesting. But overall, Ole failed technically at Man United. He couldn't get a team out there in the 2-3 years he was at the club that gave you the kind of tactical confidence that you can go out there and beat teams. And that's on Ole. Yeah, it's on the club, but it's also on Ole in the same way. That's why I throw it at Erik ten Hag and say, okay, you've been here 2 years. It's the same problem, same issue, same players. Your job fundamentally is that when we come away from Old Trafford, that we see something different, better. We go, right, that's a movement that's going forward. Ole couldn't do it. No, I don't want Ole back. What? Who would want Ole back? Like, I don't get
some
it.
People,
that's just
some people do.
No, but they're not serious people, Scott. There no one in the game who knows anything about the game is saying bring Ole back. No one's serious. It is either social media channels or fan channels who are trying to stir the pot to get what you get out of it. And it's the same people who are kind of going, oh, I don't want this coach, that coach, or the other. It's the same blah, 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 blah that goes around in the industry. No, I don't want Ole back. And I don't think Ole is of the required standing doubt. But I backed Ole. When Ole was at the club, I backed him. So I'm like, well, Ole, you got to go do the job and win games. And eventually that didn't happen. Eventually, what was it, Watford? Eventually Watford happened. And he's asking the players at halftime, lads, who wants to go out there at halftime, put your hands up, and like half the team not putting them up. No manager should be asking the players that. Like, you don't ask the players that. You say, get your backsides out there and do as you're told, or you won't be at the football club much longer. And I think with Ole, he's a little bit too nice. Yeah, so you need that balance, I think.
You won't be at the football club much longer. I mean, yeah. Well, tell that to Anthony Martial.
Yeah, but the irony of that is, with the Anthony Martial bit, and I don't know if you read up or you saw this bit from the interview, was that he was one who put his hand up and said, I'll come out and play. I'll come out and play for you, boss. I'll go out there. But it was others who didn't. The two who got substituted, Scott, that day, at half-time, were Scott McTominay and Marcus Rashford. So they didn't play. And Ollie's kind of saying, oh, you asked who wanted to play. So the ones came off, didn't want to play. And Martial put his hand up, supposedly, and said, I'm going to play for you, boss. I'm coming on. That's come out from Ole's
It's been gone. debated and debunked in some quarters. Yeah. I think Andy
Mitten said, is it none,
Andy
it Mitten
said
matter.
It wasn't those players specifically who didn't want to play, but they were just subbed. Obviously, then there's the debate on either side. Like, obviously, they cared too much, and they, you know,
he said some players were crying at halftime at Watford. Like, what world do we live in? This is sport. Your job is to go and play football. Don't cry now. You know what I mean? Don't worry about what's going to happen at the end of the game. Go and do your job. So I think this is, again, the mental health angle about how you support players and about what the expectations are. So I thought all that was quite interesting. And again, Scott, it's too much. Like, you just mentioned Martial. Like, the problem at Man United is not anti-Martial. The problem is the whole thing. The whole thing from top to bottom, from goalkeeping coach to your forward coach and everything in the middle. That's been the problem at Man United for years, and you have to fix that. And that was going to take you 4 or 5 years. Sorry, that is the truth bomb out of all of this. And it doesn't matter who your coach is. You know, that's why the coach is not the most important factor, I think, as we stand here today. And while you've got a decent coach already in Erik ten Hag, but you're not going to see good football between now and the next 15 games. Are you? Let's be honest. Like, I'm trying to be honest.
Well, I took Martial as the example there because he's one of the examples of deadwood that you can't shift. Because you give him a massive contract. Jose Mourinho, the other, I think we talked about this already, literally 3 weeks ago, was hinting at players that he didn't want during his time at United. Yeah. Mm. He wanted even Perisic and he wanted Martial gone. And obviously it was, I wasn't in favour of that at the time, but maybe if he'd have got what he wanted at the time, maybe you'd have seen a better United. Maybe not for the long term, but for that, you know.
Yeah, because he wanted
He's still there.
Yeah, he's still here in the same way that like Phil Jones was at the football club forevermore and not
it's another
providing
example.
For you.
Yeah, it's
just and I always say that the only thing you should do with a footballer is if they can help you win football matches, that's why you keep them. And they can't help you, you put them on transfer list, you sell them. And it has to be black and white and really kind of hard like that. As soon as you dawdle along, you're the problem then, not the player. The player can just do what he wants, but you're then the problem because you're allowing that dawdling to still go on. And that's been United as a story all the way through. That's the challenge for Ineos, is to take away that factor of dawdling along and to be really concise and cutting and ruthless in this part of the project to get all the bits and pieces in place where they want to go. And that will mean, Scott, selling a load of really popular players. The truth, players that are loved, got their Stan accounts. Oh, look how many good stats he's got. I love him, don't I? No, sorry, none of that matters. It's about winning. If you don't win, you've got to find a way to win. And that means you've got to have a proper squad with proper coaching, proper technique, proper players that can pass the ball, and proper tactics every single week. It has to be consistent. And I think that's the challenge now for this next stage of this build within yours.
Did say at the top, we talk about Dougie Friedman. But I think I've run out of time for today.
But he's all part of it. That's all part of it. Dougie Freeman, you're going to bring, if you bring him in and he's your head of recruitment, it's all part of this. If that's what you do, these people at the very, very top are responsible and you have to hold them responsible. And that is the way it should be. It shouldn't be what Ole just said there about board signing off stuff and saying 100 million, 80 million. It's not Football Manager. It's business. So that's holding with Dougie Freeman. It's the same with Dan Ashworth as well. You know, Dan Ashworth takes Southgate, we'll have to swallow it, and then it's on Dan Ashworth.
Indeed. Right. Maybe we'll talk a little bit more in depth about that in future weeks, because there's going to be loads of developments around who's coming in. So a topic for another day, but that's it for us for today. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and watch us on YouTube as well. The Promised Land of Man United podcast. Like the video, subscribe, leave a comment, notification bell, turn that on. 5-star reviews on Apple and Spotify, if you would please as well say nice things about us to spread the word of the podcast. And follow us on social as well at @_ScottSaunders, @_Rob_B, and @TPLMUFC on X as well. Get in touch with us, follow, and hopefully United can go and beat Everton to make things a little bit easier. It is a tough game, though. Right. Okay, everyone, from Rob and from myself, Scott, until next time, this has been the Promised Land Man United podcast. Have a fantastic weekend. Hopefully, 3 more points for United, or 3 points in general for United, because they've lost their last 2. Anyway, until next time, thanks everyone. See you soon.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.